Welcome in, podcast listeners. Appreciate all of you, many of whom probably stayed up and watched the debates last night. We start off trying to put them in the context of a sporting event. We have a loaded show for you. We'll talk with Chris Mannix about the NBA Finals beginning. We will talk with John Morosi about Major League Baseball having the biggest postseason day in history, 8 different games going on in Major League Baseball. And we will also talk with Shannon Spake about the NFL coming back. All that and more. Plus, should I pull my kid out of school or not to watch the Braves at noon Eastern? That is all debated and discussed. Appreciate you guys. This is the Outkick. Load up on the podcast downloads because this is the final day of the month and we want a brand new record. Go give us 5 stars. Appreciate all of you. The podcast begins now.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hope all of you are having a fantastic Wednesday. We got a lot to dive into, much to get to. Last night, what an unbelievable mess of a presidential debate. Yesterday afternoon, or yesterday morning, I guess it was, news comes out about COVID-related issues in my hometown of Nashville with my hometown team of the Tennessee Titans. We'll talk about both of those issues as we roll through. In particular, the Titans, 3 different players have tested positive for COVID, which is the biggest outbreak the NFL has had since really they returned to training camp and got rolling. And immediately there was a lot of panic, but we'll continue to track this story and see if there are going to be additional positive tests. If there are not, then it seems like the story is going to be the Tennessee Titans are going to play. Eventually, yesterday afternoon, the Titans announced 3 different players that had tested positive. They were defensive lineman Daquan Jones, long snapper Bo Brinkley, and a tight end on the practice squad named Tommy Hudson. They are the 3 guys that have tested positive so far on the team. If it is limited to those 3, then it's going to be an intriguing storyline to see how this plays out because the Titans are not allowed to return to their facility until Saturday, which basically means if the Titans played on Sunday that they would have maybe a walkthrough on Saturday, maybe a little bit of a walkthrough on Sunday, and all of their other game prep for the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers would have to occur via remote camera work from everybody's homes. That seems pretty difficult to prepare for a team like the Steelers via Zoom. This also has impacted in some way the Minnesota Vikings since there was a fear that maybe there had been an exposure that occurred during the course of the game. But so far, no Vikings have tested positive, and it seems like they will be able to return to some sense of normalcy. The goal of the NFL appears to be to play this game as scheduled, either on Sunday or if they have to move it back to Monday. So that is the latest on, frankly, what you would have anticipated of an outbreak that would have occurred before now. The NFL will have to figure out exactly how this will be dealt with. The other possibility is adjusting bye weeks and changing some of the schedule and allowing the Titans to play later on week 7 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That would be allowed to say, this is the detail that I saw, they could easily set it up and play in week 7 if the NFL moved the Steelers' week 7 game against the Ravens into week 8 when both teams have byes. That would be a pretty easy fit if they're not allowed to play this week. So that is what is going on in the universe of the NFL as we come closer to the NFL week 4 beginning tomorrow with not a great NFL game between 2 defeated teams. I say defeated teams because neither team has actually been able to win and we get ready for NFL Week 4. We also had, as you just heard from Eddie Garcia, Major League Baseball underway. One of the big decisions I've got today, and I'm curious what you guys on the show think I should do, I have to decide whether or not to go pick up my fourth grader and get him out of school early so we can watch the Braves, because their game is taking place at noon Eastern.
Yes,
he doesn't
do it.
Even know that I'm considering it. But I'm thinking about that. By the way, Broncos-Jets is the Thursday night game, which feels like almost the worst possible game. Do you guys think I'll go around the horn? Should I surprise him later today at like, 11:30 Eastern, show up, pick him up from school without him knowing it, so he can see my 10-year-old, my fourth grader, is a huge Braves fan, and that game will be taking place while he's at school. What do you think? What do you think, Danny G?
Hell yeah. One of my best memories from being a kid was when my mom picked me up from school to go to a Lakers parade when I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah, for a championship parade? You didn't know it was happening, and she just showed up unexpectedly?
Obviously I watched the games with my family, but I didn't know she was going to come pull me out of school to go be a part of the parade. Yeah, that is one of the best things I think you can do as a parent, is surprise your kid and pick him up from school.
Yeah, what about you, Dub? Was that a play I should make?
Dub is resetting his equipment. We'll go to him last.
Oh, well, that's good to know that everything has started to break. What about you, Eddie? Was it a good move to pull him out?
I'm not a parent, but as a kid, that would have been an awesome memory if my mom or dad would have done that. So I absolutely endorse that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing it, maybe picking him up and having some food and just watching the game at home around lunchtime. And you're all in on that idea, Roberto?
Oh, heck yeah, man. Yeah, take him out early. He will never forget it, especially, getting out early from school to watch his favorite baseball team. Yes, definitely do it. Must.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be the plan, even if mom is not as big of a fan of that idea as dad is. So we'll see how that shakes out. All right. The other obviously big news that I think is kind of cascading everywhere is the presidential debate. And I was trying to think of a sporting analogy for the presidential debate. Like, last night I watched it. I imagine a huge percentage of you listening watched at least some of it. And I was trying to analogize what it would be for a sporting event. And ultimately, what I kind of got down with is, it's like a UFC match between two fighters that you thought was really good. And one of them just immediately wants to get on the ground. As soon as the round begins, it felt like Trump just grabbed him and dragged him around, and they just grappled on the ground, and it was almost impossible to see what was actually going on. And maybe the other analogy would be, if you want to go with a boxing match, it was like a boxing match where both guys keep hitting after the bell, and the official keeps like standing there trying to stop them from fighting and lecturing them, and eventually just turns to the judges and says, take points off both scorecards. This is a total mess. Do you have a sporting analogy? Did you watch Danny G? And if so, is there a sporting analogy that comes to mind for what the debate looked like to you?
I did watch. I'm not sure if I have a sporting analogy, but what it reminded me of is back when I was helping to produce the Ben Maller show, he would get into these huge arguments with me and Coop about the Clippers and the Lakers. He swore up and down that the Clippers were not only going to get to the NBA Finals before the Lakers, that they would win a championship before the Lakers ever got another one. And the more we argued with him, the louder Ben would yell and he would speak over us. Coop would always tell him, Ben, just because you're yelling, it doesn't make you right. That's what it kind of reminded me of. And I will point out this. When Trump started talking about how he brought college football back,
did you think he was going to mention me on the Big Ten line?
1,000%, because he said, I brought college football back. Ohio loves me. The Big Ten. And he's like, me and he had to stop talking. It was one of the times where he had to stop talking. It felt like he got cut off right when he was about to either maybe thank the Big Ten commissioner or you. But I thought for sure he was going to say me and Clay Travis.
Can you imagine Twitter's reaction if I'd gotten name dropped during the presidential debate about the Big Ten coming back?
People would have lost their minds, because the girl that I was watching it with, we were messaging back and forth, kind of doing play-by-play. She thought the same exact thing. I was like, oh, my God, I thought he was going to drop name drop Clay Travis right there. And she's like, I thought the same thing.
Yeah, my phone blew up during that course of that discussion. Because a bunch of people were texting me, oh, I thought you were about to get a name drop. I think it was probably the Big Ten commissioner, Kevin Warren, that he was thinking that he was going to name.
Yeah, either he couldn't think of Kevin's name right away or he just got interrupted.
Yeah, the whole thing was just, it was just such a crazy, ridiculous, absurd spectacle. And but that was the sports analogy. What about you, Eddie? What sports analogy would you make there?
Well, I got to be honest, I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch a single minute?
I didn't watch
it. What did you watch last night?
I was watching baseball, and then I was taking care of my wife, who almost broke her ankle, and she tripped and fell.
In the house?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of good athletes there. So is the ankle broken?
I don't think so, but...
Yeah, it sounds like a Chargers fan, honestly.
She posted...
It's a very Chargers fan move.
She posted something on Twitter, and they were like, even their fans are getting hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. Dub, what about you? I think your technology is now working again.
I think so. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you're here. Yeah, we got you. What sports analogy? Did you watch the debate last night?
I sure did.
What sports analogy, if any, did you think of during the course of the debate?
I don't know. Two kids fighting at recess or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. What about you, Roberto? Did you watch?
No, I didn't watch either.
At all? No. Did you watch baseball instead or what?
Yeah,
you watch?
I was watching baseball.
Was that a calculated decision not to watch 1 minute on your part?
Yeah, I didn't feel like watching it at all.
Same thing with you, Eddie. Were you just like, I just have no interest whatsoever in watching this?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly isn't going to change my mind on who I'm voting for. I don't think it's going to change anybody's mind at this point. But, I get tuning in for the spectacle of it. I understand that.
I mean, I polled people last night and I said, I'll look at the latest. But I was like, what percentage of my audience was watching this debate? And the most watched debate of all time is 83 million people, I think, was one of the Trump-Clinton debates. And there's some debate, hey, will more people watch this one? Is there more interest? How exactly is it going to shake out? And let's see, did you watch? 84% of my audience on social media, my Twitter feed, at Clay Travis, said they watched. So, I mean, that's a pretty massive percentage of people that actually watched. So I'm very confident that it's going to be the biggest audience watching anything on television since the Super Bowl. So beyond a shadow of a doubt, we can kind of factor in that that is going to end up happening. But again, the analogy I kind of thought of was a UFC fight. And you know how sometimes you want to see like two fighters really go at it and one of them just immediately goes to the ground and then they're grappling and they're rolling around and it's kind of hard to tell exactly what's going on. And Trump wanted to get to the ground. Or if you take it outside of the world of sports in particular, it was like Trump wanted to get in the mud. You got two people walking and they start to get in a fight and the goal is automatically just to be in the mud, throwing things at each other. That's kind of what I thought of in the pigsty, just kind of rolling around in the mud. All right, so we have got a loaded show for you. Let me give you a little context on where we're going. Shannon Spake is going to join us next. Then in hour two, we're going to be joined by John Morosi. Major League Baseball playoffs started last night. Today we've got loaded, I think, 8 different games going on today, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
8 different games going on potentially the day after, depending on how many teams are able. I think a lot of people are surprised who are big baseball fans even. It's wild to have 16 teams in the playoff, but we're now in a best-of-3 series, which in Major League Baseball, if you're a fan of any team, think about how often it happens that your team wins or loses 2 out of 3 games in a series. I mean, that happens over the course of a season all the time. So you got to win 2 games or you are eliminated. Much at stake there. By the way, speaking of at stake, Danny G, have we heard anything at all from the Dodgers about this ongoing drama surrounding our cardboard cutouts?
Negative.
I mean, somebody at the, let's be honest here at this point, somebody at the Dodgers hates me beyond belief. Are you in agreement that that is the only possible solution at this point?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, right, for me to donate $1,000 to get our cardboard cutouts. Initially, the Dodgers are so excited about the idea of putting up cardboard cutouts of us. And then the entire franchise basically will refuse to respond to any of your emails, Danny G.
The only way the Dodger Charity Foundation can make this good is if we all tune in for the Dodgers Brewers and we are right behind home plate.
Which there's, I think, a 0% chance of this happening.
Yeah, probably.
Should I demand a refund to donate money to some other organization?
Yeah,
I don't think the Dodgers should get my money.
We could have bought a legacy brick at the new Vegas stadium.
Is that the same cost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at least that would be there forever, and listeners could take a picture
of it. You get a replica of it, too, sent home.
A legacy brick.
I don't know that a legacy brick is necessarily what I would dream of, but is there uniform agreement? I'm going to go around the horn here, that somebody at the Dodgers hates me and that we should get a refund for my donation to the Dodgers in exchange for this for these cardboard cutouts. You agree with this, Danny G, beyond a shadow of a doubt?
Even the Dodgers director of public relations ignored the Clay Travis email.
I don't understand. I mean, I'm not one to brag or draw attention to myself. But even within the context of, there's no way that the Dodgers can have that many people in media who have bigger audiences than me that are asking a very basic question. Like, this is an intentional ignoring of us because somebody in a position of power at the Dodgers hates me. And I don't know. I've never personally met, to my knowledge, anybody that has a position of power in the Dodgers organization. I don't think, I don't think I have ever met anybody. I've been to one Dodger game in the postseason, and I had a really good experience there. There were tons of OutKick fans that I met when I went to the Dodgers World Series game. I don't remember what game. Do you remember what game I went to? I think it was game 3, something like that, back in the World Series. And it's wild to me that they won't even respond to us. Dub, is there any doubt in your mind that somebody hates me? Should we get a refund here?
I hate to take the money out
of the kids' pockets here, but I'll just donate it somewhere else where they actually respect. I mean, I spent $1,000 with them. I'll just give that $1,000 to somebody else that actually respects the fact that I exist and that our show exists.
Well, there's no doubt. And I think if you had done this with, let's say, the Atlanta Braves.
It's a great example.
The Atlanta Braves,
I reached out. For people who don't know, the Atlanta Braves, I took my fourth grader for his birthday. You can't go into the stadium, obviously, but I booked a hotel room. I sent a message to the Atlanta Braves on social media because they have responded on Instagram to some of my tweets, some of my Instagram posts before. I said, hey, I'm coming down. My 9-year-old is turning 10. We're going to be staying at the hotel. Let me know if there's anything cool that we could do. Appreciate it, you know, and the Braves are big fans of OutKick. Somebody in the Braves organization gets back to me almost instantaneously, and my son got to be on the Jumbotron saying play ball, right? Instantaneously, within 24 hours, the Braves make that happen. Props to the Braves. I'm not saying that every team has people that love OutKick. A lot of them do. Obviously, some teams have people who hate OutKick. That's kind of the nature of being in the opinion business. I'm not going to, you know, cast aspersions on anybody. They're entitled to their right of opinion, just like everybody on this show is. But to not even respond to us over the course of basically, it's been like a month, hasn't it, Danny G, at least?
And this has been such a thorn in my side. And remember when the shortened season first began, I thought this was a great idea by you because it was the Friday of that week. Live on the air, you're like, you know what? I have a great idea. Why don't we have cardboard cutouts for Danny and Roberto? They're lifelong Dodgers fans.
Yeah. And I said, I'll make that happen too.
Yeah, exactly. And then once I dove into it and sent some emails and figured out how we could participate, then we got you a cutout as well. So the three of us would be prominently featured.
In the pictures is offensive.
No.
Like, there's nothing that we're wearing or doing or saying or something. Like, it's not like you sent
offensive
photos. No,
your 5 o'clock shadow was slightly offensive in the photo. But
I'm not an attractive man. And neither, frankly, are you or Roberto. So
we all have faces for radio.
That we're not very good looking. But that was pretty much it.
At first, they were excited. So it had to have been somebody else in the Dodgers charity organization that got in the ear of the director and shut it down.
And said basically refused to respond to these people. It's crazy.
Saw your photo and was like, I hate that guy. Make sure no cameras see his ugly face.
And I don't really even mind that. I would just like to know who that person is and have them on the show and have them explain why they refuse to allow cardboard cutouts of us. Like, the Denver Broncos put cardboard cutouts of the entire South Park crew. Did you see that in their stadium? Which I thought was pretty funny because South Park is set in Colorado. Matt Stone and Trey Parker, the creators of South Park, are big Colorado natives. They're huge Denver Bronco fans. And everybody thought that was funny. Like, it's not like you putting a cardboard cutout of someone in the stadium means that you agree with them on every single issue under the sun, right? It's a charitable event. So, Dub, I cut you off, but your position in general is somebody at the Dodgers hates me.
Absolutely.
Zero doubt. What about you, Eddie?
Yeah, I get this is for charity, but it was for charity in exchange for something being done for you that has not been done. So I absolutely think you're within your right to ask for your money back and put it somewhere else. So I don't know why they wouldn't have done this. I don't have any explanation why they wouldn't respond, except for what you said. Somebody's got it out for you. Somebody doesn't like you, and so they don't want to do this.
Don't you think that person, if they had any actual balls, should also have to identify themselves and be like, hey, this is why we made the decision, instead of going totally silent? I don't presume that everybody has to like me. My mom thinks it's crazy because she thinks I'm the greatest person on the planet. My wife probably agrees with the Dodgers, kind of hates me part of the time too, so she's probably like, it's a smart move by the Dodgers. But I think they should at least have to come on the show and explain, right? I would love to have that conversation. And at minimum, they should have to respond to an email over the course of a month and explain what's going on. Do you think it's just somebody hates me, Roberto?
Yeah, the fact that they haven't responded through the email is ridiculous, man. And then the only other thing I can think of is that, Danny, you said that they said we were going to be put in the behind
the spot, a prominent place. They said they promised, hey, we'll put you, oh, we're excited about this.
I'm thinking that the money came in and there was no more seats available there, and then they didn't know what to do with the donation, therefore they're not replying.
So you think they're
back
just backpedaling?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I think it would be an easy solution to be like, hey, we couldn't get you behind home plate, but we decided to put you at this funny location. Yeah. And the fact
also, they've switched out different celebrities and people
throughout
from behind home plate.
And also, we have a ton of listeners and a lot of people who are watching Dodger games. Like, nobody has seen our cutouts anywhere. I don't even think they're in the stadium.
No, I haven't seen them at all.
Like, and Roberto watches every game.
Yeah, so.
I mean, but I there's foul balls, there's home runs. Like, I
somebody's trying to throw a blanket onto our shine.
I legitimately don't think we're there at all. All right. As we go to break, we're about to be joined by Shannon Spake. Have a lot of interesting conversation with her. We'll find out where she's going on the road this week to work in the NFL and more. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis.
We are joined now by Shannon Spake. She is on the road with New Orleans at Detroit, I believe. I think that'll be her second trip to Detroit in 4 weeks, but we began. Did you watch any of the debate last night, Shannon Spake?
I did, yes. And I have so much to kind of follow up with you. You've only been on air for 30 minutes, and I feel like you've hit on so many things. Yes, I did think he was going to drop your name 100%. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to say Clay. I know he's going to say Clay's name. And of course he didn't. I have been listening to sort of your sports analogies of what the debate felt like last night. I could say when a ball gets kicked out on the football field and everyone's kind of scrambling for it and you don't really know who has it and people are falling on it and then it squirts out and then someone else falls on it. But honestly, I gotta say it was like watching The View to me, right? Where there was just so many voices and so many people yelling and screaming, and you're just like, oh, I'm stressed out. I need an aspirin or a drink right now.
Did you feel like Chris Wallace? I know you have twin boys. Did you feel like Chris Wallace was basically moderating two kids who were yelling at each other? Because I was watching this and I was like, this sounds like my wife when our 12-year-old and our 10-year-old start arguing over Madden, right? And eventually she's just like, that's it. Or, you know, I rarely get, you know, kind of involved in the squabbles because, well, first of all, I tend to like just kind of let them fight it out. But every now and then I'll do the same thing as her. I'll just be like, that's it. Nobody gets to play video games, right? Like, I'm turning it off, you know, and then they, you know, you just have to turn it off. I kind of felt like that was Chris Wallace's role. I don't even know if Chris Wallace is a parent, but it felt like from a moderator perspective that he was like, all right, we're stopping the car. I'm going to pull the car over on the side of the road, you know, like, all right, we're not going to get ice cream. Everybody you just ruined it. You know, like that's kind of the whole vibe.
Yeah. There was no way for him to win that. Right. I thought he needed to send the both of them to timeout. They just needed to be like put in timeout for 5 seconds because there was a whole lot going on. And I know you mentioned like, you don't think that someone's opinion of who they're going to vote for is going to be swayed based on that, definitely not based on that one. But I will say there's been past debates where I kind of went into it thinking I was going to go with, because listen, I'm like sort of, you know me, we chat, right? I mean, I'm not far right or far left. I'm kind of make my decisions based on how I, you know, what the information that I gain at the time. And I was really interested to see this debate. I was really interested to see these two men get up there and have conversations and discuss things. And I just didn't get that last night.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of what Twitter has done to national discourse. Like I always said, it wasn't a coincidence in 2016 that in the entire history of the nation, we nominated in Trump and Hillary the two most disliked people to ever run for president, right? I think that's a direct result of social media. And I think when I go back and contemplate being a younger voter or even a younger person, it used to be that it felt like to me the political parties would pick somebody that they hoped the other side would like, right? You'd be like, oh, I hope that, you know, Democrats are going to pick this guy and they hope that he's also going to have appeal to Republicans, and Republicans are going to pick this guy and they hope that he's going to have appeal to Democrats. And that seems to me to be a rational decision to make. I want to pick somebody that I think the other side is going to like too, because I want him or her to win. Mm-hmm. I think what has happened now is people want to pick someone that is going to make the other side the most angry, right, in many ways. And I think that is a function of social media. And I don't know how you break outside of the social media dilemma dynamic that we've created. All right, that's one take. What do you think about the Dodgers? Do you believe that the Dodgers are intentionally, somebody hates me at the Dodgers and they're not even allowing our cardboard cutouts to be put in their stadium?
Listen, I will say this. I raise money for the Iron Man Foundation every single year. I will carry a Clay Travis huge head. I will wear an Outkick shirt before
we
my
will
triathlon.
Flip. That's what we'll do. We'll flip. Is it wrong of me to request a refund? Just based on the Dodgers not doing anything, is it wrong of me to request a refund, not even being willing to respond to our emails?
Charity.
Yes.
It's for charity, right? So if it was like you were paying in order to have, but they did sort of sell you a false, you know,
bill of goods. They said, it's not like I was doing it to try. I mean, like they were like, oh, yeah, we'll put you guys there. I was like, oh, this would be great. Danny G and Roberto are big fans. We're on the Dodger station in L.A., you know, so people on AM 570 listening to us right now, we have a huge number of listeners in L.A. on the Dodger flagship. I was like, okay, that's kind of a cool idea. And then they just ghosted us. I can't even understand.
Listen, I'm all in for sponsorship. So Iron Man Foundation, I'll send you my link. I raise money for the Iron Man Foundation. It goes to the cities that we race in. We do all kinds of cool things and service projects. And I'm happy to wear an Outkick shirt during my triathlon next year. And I'm happy to carry a Clay Travis head. I'll take your money, Clay.
I appreciate that. And you won't run from me, although you will be running. All right. So you're going, am I right, back to Detroit, right? You've been four weeks. You're going to be in Detroit for two of them. This feels like every Lions game is always a must win because they're always behind the eight ball trying to get back to 500. It feels like that's, my wife's from Detroit. It feels like that's been the Lions story for the last, you know, 60 years. But for Drew Brees and the Saints, this is really a must-win game. They can't fall to 1-3, given that the Bucs are starting to show some good momentum in the NFC South. What do you expect to see in this game with Detroit hosting the Saints?
Well, I expect to see Drew Brees come out and light it up. I think that, you know, when you lose the way they did on the national stage, or any time you do, right, with the team. Listen, we all know Drew Brees is closer to the end than he is the beginning in terms of his career, and this could be the year that he's got to make it happen. So I think they're going to come in, and they're going to come in pretty hot. You know, again, I listened to the Detroit Lions game on the way back from Atlanta, so I had an interesting weekend with Nick Foles coming in that game after halftime. And making the change for Trubisky. I do think the Trubisky time is come to a close in Chicago. And so I listened to the Detroit game, and that was a nail-biter too, just back and forth. Of course, obviously, the Cardinals are what the Cardinals are. My goodness, Kyler Murray is just an incredible difference maker. But I just don't know if the Lions have enough. I've seen them many, many times, and I think New Orleans is an elite team, and I just don't know if the Lions have enough.
What are you hearing about Michael Thomas? Is the expectation that he's going to be back at wide receiver, which would obviously help the Saints offense and help Drew Brees potentially be able to stretch the field better? There's been a lot of talk about how strong his arm is right now. What are you hearing the latest on Michael Thomas?
Yeah, I haven't really started to dig into it too much, right? I have NASCAR that I have to do today. We have the schedule coming out.
Yep.
So I kind of manage my week that way, right? So Thursday is sort of my all-in NFL day. My kids are in school. I spent about 8 hours kind of looking through stuff. So I've kind of glanced at things here and there, but I haven't really dug into it too much. I can tell you the NASCAR schedule is coming out this weekend, or today, I should say. And I believe that there's rumors that they're going to put dirt on your Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yeah, I saw that story. That's kind of wild,
yep.
Huh?
100%. It'd be the first dirt race in the Cup Series, I think, since like 1970. I was looking at it this morning. It's been really long. We do it in the Truck Series at Eldora, but it's going to be incredible. And I do think there's going to be a lot of really strong feelings about this schedule. The core NASCAR fans do not want to change Bristol, right? They want to keep Bristol exactly the way that it is. And hearing that this is possibly going to be something that they do in 2021, I am surprised, just looking at loosely the schedule that came out, I'm surprised they didn't retract the season a little bit, but who knows, we may have some changes when it does come out later this afternoon. We're going to be talking to some of the NASCAR folks on Race Hub later today, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I just saw that story and immediately thought that has to be so much work to bring in all that dirt, and I don't even know how you could ever remove it. Right.
Well, they put a football field there, Clay, right?
Well, that's true. But the football field seems like it's almost easier to pull out because at least that's like grass. I mean, you can lay the turf and everything. Yeah, I was at that game, which was amazing on the infield to be able to see it. And it was such a cool venue for the University of Tennessee going up against Virginia Tech. I mean, I think probably it was such a massive audience that they lost track of how many people were coming in and out. But I still think that's the biggest audience to ever see a football game in America. But it was an awesome venue at night at Bristol. But that would be, I mean, would they leave it for the entire season? It would be because they have the night race. They have multiple races at Bristol, right?
Yeah, no, they would take it off. They would put it on and take it off. Listen, Bruton Smith, who owns Bristol and who owns several racetracks on the NASCAR schedule, this is what he does.
Yeah.
He does stuff that people don't normally do. You know, he's got a lot of money and he can do what he wants with his racetracks, and he does. Like you said, he put the football field out there in Tennessee. And I met Bruton for the first time in like 2004. I was working for a company and he was very good friends with the owners, and I would go to lunch with all of them. And he was talking about, you know, putting a football field at Bristol Motor Speedway all the way back then. So he has these ideas and he likes to draw attention by doing really big, crazy things. So I'm not surprised to see this. And yeah, they would remove the dirt. And it does look like, based on the schedule that I saw, that the last 10 races, which are the playoffs, are kind of the same, they're not going to do too much to those last 10.
Are they changing Daytona in any way?
I would think that they're probably going to stick with the road course. I don't know.
The time
I
on the schedule, really, though, you really think it'll well. Still be an early, there's always the talk about moving the Daytona 500 to later in the season, or you still think it'll be basically starting down in Daytona?
Yeah, no question. There's no question. The Daytona 500 starts our season every year. That's something they won't mess with.
Shannon Spake, we will talk to you next week. Enjoy Detroit. Hope you get a good game up there, and we'll see what happens with the Saints going on the road against the Lions.
Thank you. I'll expect that money, and I'll start making my T-shirt for my race.
All right, we're on it. We'll take care of that. I'll do it. That is Shannon Spake.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
That stat is one of the most remarkable stats out there in sports right now that you just gave about the Twins. Repeat that. I mean, that is unbelievable. Like, if you were just doing statistical analysis, that would seem to be almost impossible to have happen, what you just said, what has happened to the Twins.
17 consecutive postseason losses.
Going back how many years now?
That's a good question. I'll have to look into that. Longest losing streak in the history of the four major sports in North America.
Right, but I mean, it seems like it would be impossible to lose 17 straight baseball games. That's almost, I mean, just think about it. In the course of a season, it's almost impossible. What's the longest losing streak in the history of baseball? Like, was it 25 or 26 games? Does anybody know? Not to mention in the postseason, which means that you're a pretty good team to make the postseason, right? We're not talking about a team that's only going to win 55 or 60 games like the worst teams often do. It's statistically beyond measure for a team that's good enough to make the postseason to lose 17 straight games should not be able to happen.
It dates back to 2004.
2004? I mean, that is unheard of to go all the way back. If you are a Minnesota sports fan, we always talk about, you know, who are the most star-crossed, most unfortunately, luck and how it plays out. Minnesota's in that mix. City of Buffalo is in that mix. City of Atlanta is in that mix. You know, teams that just, they never can quite seem to get over that hump. 17 straight for the Twins is truly without precedent.
Do you want the breakdown on it?
Yeah, I actually...
Okay, 2004, they lost three straight to the Yankees. 2006, they lost three straight to the A's. 2009, three straight to the Yankees. 2010, three straight to the Yankees. 2018, they lost a one-game playoff against the Yankees. And then in 2019, three in a row against the Yankees.
I mean, the Yankees clearly own. I knew it was a lot of those losses were against the Yankees. But to go 15 years without being able, or now we're on 16 years, I guess, without being able to have a postseason victory, not win a series, but just win a game. And they play tonight, right? So, I mean, in theory, they could lose their 18th straight and the season's over yet again.
Exactly.
Longest losing streak in baseball back in 1889, 26 games.
All right, so what's the 1889, all right, that's tough to do. What's a modern era longest losing streak? They're close to setting that record, relatively speaking, in actually the postseason, which again is good teams that advance there. When we come back, I'll go to your phone calls. If you had to make a sporting analogy for what happened in the debate last night, what would your analogy be? Open up phones, 877-996-6369. Give me a sporting analogy. We'll also be joined by John Morosi, our Major League Baseball insider. I'll ask him about that Twins record of futility. All that and more. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.